Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tetragon Financial Group Q3 Investor Call. All lines will be in listen-only mode throughout the whole conference. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, press star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson, David Wichenow, one of the principals of Tetragon. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Thank you. As one of the principals of the investment manager of Tetragon Financial Group Limited, I'd like to welcome everyone to today's Q3 investor call. As usual, we'll focus on results and provide an update on progress to date. The format of today's call will be similar to our previous investor calls. Before I hand the call over to Phil Bland, just a quick comment on Euronext activities today. As I'm sure most of you have noticed, there's been numerous technical difficulties at the Euronext Amsterdam Exchange. Shares in Tetragon Financial Group have not opened for trading due to these technical problems. This has affected not only our own security, but also other securities on the exchange. For further updates on these issues, please refer to NYSE Euronext website. We too, on our own website at tetragoninv.com, will also be posting periodic updates if they're relevant. But I wanted to mention that to everyone on the call. Again, I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding intentions, beliefs, or current expectations in regards to performance and the financial condition on the products and markets in which Tetragon invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. Phil Bland, our CFO, will provide Tetragon's Q3 results, interim financial statements, as well as color on our quarterly dividend announcement. I'll give an overview on the portfolio and key performance metrics, and Jeff Herlin, also one of the principals of the investment manager, will provide an update on TFG and the markets that we transact in. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Phil.
Thanks so much, David, and my welcome to everybody to the call today. The results of the third quarter are contained in the quarterly investor letter, which is now available on the website. Hopefully, you've had access to that already. And that also contains the main unaudited financial statements for the three quarters ending September 2009. I'm going to start my comments, as ever, with a look at the statement of operations for TFG. And that's also summarized on page 10 of the investor letter, as well as itemized in the financial statements. As mentioned on prior calls, when we review the performance of TFG's investments, it's important to look at both the interest income line, which is just under $40 million for Q3, and the change in realized or unrealized value investments further down the statement of operations. In this last quarter, the combined number reflected positive earnings of $31 million compared to a Q2 loss of $31.6 million. While delivering this positive earnings figure, we're also able to add back approximately $78 million to the so-called accelerated loss reserve, which I'll talk more about in a few moments. When we determine the value of our investments, we review the latest available external data on the CLO and loan markets, including data from the ratings agencies. There continues to be no significant change in the outlook for defaults from the ratings agencies during the quarter, and there were no material changes made to our previously disclosed modeling parameters. As a result, the quarter's performance was driven largely by improved actual performance in many of our investments, although not all, and that was rather than by any modeling changes to reflect future expected changes. And later in the call, Jeff Herlin is going to give you some more market context around the performance of our portfolio. As reflected in the highlights on page 9 of our quarterly report, the accelerated loss reserve, which we established in Q4 2008, in anticipation of the sorts of performance challenges we've experienced in 2009, increased from $254 million at the end of the previous quarter to almost $334 million at the end of Q3. That's reflecting the restoration of certain previously released amounts. The reserve is specific, it's held on a deal-by-deal basis, and there were cases where an increase in fair value was offset by a rebuilding of originally held reserves. We believe it'll be appropriate to hold this reserve well into 2010, as we expect that the next two quarters may present challenges to the continued improvement of the portfolio, as additional downgrades and defaults, among other factors, may exert negative pressure on our investments. Operating expenses for Tetragon were basically unchanged on Q2 at around $3.1 million, although significantly lower than the corresponding quarter last year, where the expense figure of $8.8 million contained $3 million of interest expense and a management fee of around $5 million, which is based on a much higher level of net assets. On a net income basis, CFG made a profit of $31.2 million for Q3, compared with a loss of $26.7 million in the second quarter and a loss of $414 million in the first quarter of 2009. Expressed in terms of EPS, this was a gain of 25 cents per share for the quarter, and we delivered a loss of approximately $3.25 for the first 9 months of the year. The profits for the quarter contributed to an increase in consolidated net assets, which stood at approximately $721 million, or $5.71 per share at the end of Q3, and that's an increase from $5.50 per share at the end of Q2. This brings us almost back now to the end of Q1 level of $5.75 per share. Turning now to the levels of cash and leverage, the investment portfolio generated just over $35 million of cash during the quarter, which is equivalent to 28 cents per share. And that represents a small increase on cash of 25 cents per share in Q2. So again, moving in the right direction. Year-to-date cash received was over $113.4 million, compared to $269 million in the corresponding period of 2008. This healthy cash flow enabled CFG to continue to grow cash holdings to just shy of $150 million by the end of September, or $1.19 expressed as cash per outstanding share. CFG, as we've covered in past calls, continues to have no borrowings or leverage. Next, a word on IRRs. Based on our latest base case modeling assumptions, which drive the rate at which Tetragon recognizes its income quarter on quarter, the weighted average IRR ended the quarter at 10.3%. up around 1.1% compared to the end of Q2. This reflects in large part improvements in the OC cushions in certain US deals in the portfolio, and David's going to give you some more color on the portfolio later in the call. Turning now to the third quarter dividend announcement. As ever, in setting the quarterly dividend, the board of directors focused on three key considerations. First of all, the performance of the company, in the quarter, but also year to date, and its potential challenges. Secondly, the status and whether there's a continuation of an uncertain economic environment. And finally, the cash generated during the quarter, balanced against other uses of cash, such as the share buyback program. The board was certainly encouraged, as we are, by the upturn in the operating performance of the company in the quarter. But due to the continuation of an uncertain environment and outlook, the board decided to approve an unchanged dividend payment of 3 cents per share based on the investment manager's recommendation. As in previous quarters, investors will have the opportunity to receive their dividends either fully or partially in the form of Tetragon shares, rather than cash through our optional stock dividend program. The conversion ratio will be published to the website on October 30th, and elections should be made in the usual way. In summary, when looking at the financials, the third quarter saw an upturning performance of the portfolio, which was reflected in a return to positive earnings, a rebuild of some previously released reserves, and encouraging positive cash flow. However, we remain mindful of the continued uncertain environment, which is likely to continue for the rest of 2009 and into 2010. And with that, I'd like to pass back to David to comment on Tetragon's portfolio and risk profile.
Thanks, Phil. I'd like to now run you through portfolio and performance metrics with an emphasis on the underlying collateral performance and quality. As of the end of Q3, our investment portfolio continues to hold 61 CLO investments managed by 32 different collateral managers, This represents an estimated fair value of investments of approximately $567 million. No new CLO investments were made during the quarter, as cash flow from investments was primarily used to pay dividends to shareholders, continue our share buyback program, and for general corporate purposes. The portfolio continues to be diversified across underlying asset classes and geographies. Approximately 61% of the risk capital is invested in CLOs, with primary exposure to U.S. broadly syndicated senior secured loans. 15.6% is invested in CLOs with exposure to European broadly syndicated senior secured loans, and 23.2% in CLOs with primary exposure to U.S. and middle market senior secured loans. Relative Euro CLO underperformance versus the U.S. is responsible in the percentage reduction in Euro CLOs from approximately 23% at the end of Q2 down to 15.6% at the end of Q3. On a look-through basis, Tetragon's exposure to senior secured loans totals just over $17.6 billion par value, underpinned by approximately $721 million of permanent equity capital. Tetragon's exposure continues to be spread across approximately 1,700 corporate obligors, the substantial majority of which are U.S. names, with the balance being European names. We continue to review our hedging strategy for credit exposure and FX principal risk on an ongoing basis as we seek to address identified risks to the extent practical and in a cost-effective manner. As Phil mentioned, Tetragon has no corporate-wide borrowings. With a free cash balance of approximately $150 million, we believe we are well-placed to evaluate uses of excess cash for future investments. As we assess the potential uses of our cash, we are focused on new secondary CLO debt or equity investments, both add-ons to our existing positions or new transactions which meet our investment criteria. We also continue to evaluate strategic opportunities in the loan asset management space as a means of diversifying TFG's revenue base towards more fee income streams. As noted in today's share repurchase program press release, TFG will continue with its share repurchase program on the same material terms as currently in effect, with the exception of the program's daily trading volume limitation, which will be increased substantially. TFG's maximum daily trading volume for such purposes under the updated program will be based on the average daily volume traded in September 2009. Compared with the March 2009 under the current version of the program. The board believes that the purchase of shares in the market at appropriate price levels below net asset value represents an attractive use of TFG's excess cash and an efficient means of returning cash to shareholders. Since inception of the share repurchase program, Tetragon has purchased over 3.5 million shares. Let me now update you on some of the key metrics that we remain focused on. TFG's lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate increased from 5.1% at the end of Q2 2009 to 6.7% during the third quarter. This compares favorably versus S&P's 12-month trailing market default rate of 9.75%. While the rolling 12-month average default rate remains high, we believe a quarterly perspective may point to a slowing in the pace of defaults by par amount. For example, the annualized Q3 market default rate fell to 4.8% by principal amount from 8.7% at the end of Q2, and this was also from a high of 19.5% in Q1. Also, September 2009 was the slowest month for loan defaults since November 2008. Excess loss reserves in the company increased in Q3 2009, with approximately $95 million of excess loss reserves having been factored into our IRR calculations as of quarter end. At the end of Q2, excess loss reserves were approximately $39 million. These excess net loss reserves are CLO specific and represent the aggregate sum of reserves experienced in the underlying loan portfolios for each CLO. The third quarter was characterized by a notable improvement in the secondary loan crisis as the U.S. high-yield capital markets and fundamental credit showed signs of continued stabilization. The pace of U.S. triple C downgrades decelerated during the quarter as a result. While total triple C and defaulted asset holdings of many CLOs remained high, the net increases in such holdings were largely offset by market value and or trading gains, driving improvements in the U.S. CLOs and OC levels on an aggregate basis. European CLOs, however, generally continued to see OC deterioration due to, among other factors, continued realized and unrealized losses and certain transaction-specific haircut requirements. As of the end of Q3, 24, or approximately 40% of our CLO investments, were failing their most junior OC test. This is a slight decrease from 25 investments, which represented 42% of our deals, at the end of Q2 2009, and compared favorably to the market average of 51%, as reported by Morgan Stanley in their September CDO market update. As OC tests are breached, CLO structures may defer excess interest cash flows away from the equity tranche holders to pay down the CLO debt, thereby curing the OC breach through deleveraging. As of Q3 2009, the weighted average percentage of corporate obligors were invested in rated triple C or below in our 61 investments was up slightly to 12.6% versus 11.6% reported at the end of Q2 2009. This also compares favorably to the market average of 19% as reported by Morgan Stanley in September. The weighted average rating factor in our portfolio also slightly increased to approximately 2,813 from a previously reported 2,800 level. Each of these foregoing statistics represents a weighted average summary across all of our 61 investments. Each individual investment's metrics will differ from this average and may vary across the portfolio. In sum, the loan and CLO market prices continued to rally in Q3 2009, and TFG has benefited from this occurrence. While a number of CLO performance drivers are stabilizing, other metrics, such as loans and defaults, may continue to have adverse short-term effects on TFG's portfolio. We continue to remain focused on our existing investments and continually evaluate potential secondary CLO debt or equity investments on an opportunistic basis. With that, I'll turn it over to Jeff to provide an outlook on TFG and the market that we transacted.
Thanks, Dave. As you've previously heard, the loan market rally continued through the third quarter, bringing the S&P Leveraged Loan Index to a 46% year-to-date gain. Distressed and lower-rated credits were the biggest beneficiaries, with CCC-rated credits returning 76% year-to-date. This price appreciation was driven in part by the pickup in loan repayments financed largely by high-yield bond issuance. The third quarter saw $12.7 billion in bond per loan takeouts, representing 73% of the $17.5 billion in total loan notional repayments for the quarter. Additionally, corporate borrowers continue to improve their maturity profile by restructuring, amending, or extending $124 billion of notional loan exposure thus far this year to the end of the third quarter. From a fundamental perspective, we believe the loan market rally reflects a stabilizing landscape in the U.S. Among the 100 largest S&P index issuers that reported second quarter results, improvement from the first quarter financials was evident in EBITDA and revenue increases of 9.6 and 4.9% respectively. The European leveraged loan market showed a somewhat different picture in the third quarter. Despite a 35% year-to-date gain in the S&P European Leveraged Loan Index, credit downgrades and defaults continue to weigh upon this market. We believe that limited liquidity will also likely keep this market behind the U.S. in terms of the pace and timing of credit market stabilization and improvement. From a global perspective, we feel the third quarter leveraged loan market results are encouraging, but caution that sustained improvement will require a market upturn in the macroeconomic environment. The improvement in the underlying loan market also helped to bring in new investors into the secondary CLO market. Secondary CLO trading volume increased substantially as investors looked to capture the loan market rally in the less liquid and price-lagging secondary market for both CLO debt and equity tranches. Market activity included a significant portion of real money buyers, which we believe is an important ingredient to a sustained rally that could bring tighter CLO debt spreads and a potential return of new issue CLOs. The challenging markets we have faced this year have resulted in some CLO managers exiting the CLO space. We are seeing signs of a potential pickup in CLO manager consolidation. As such, we are closely monitoring this development and remain prepared to take advantage of attractive opportunities to diversify our revenue base. As Dave mentioned, we have significant cash on our balance sheet to help us navigate the uncertain environment that we have faced for 2009. As the environment shifts and a clearer picture of the near-term landscape emerges, we feel that TFG is well-positioned to move quickly to capture improving credit markets and strategic opportunities.
Thanks, Jeff. We'd like to thank everyone for joining our call. As always, please do not hesitate to contact us directly with any questions you may have. We look forward to speaking with you in the future.